This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and we're in the studios of the library today with two distinguished poets, originally from Hong Kong, now continuing distinguished careers in America. They have the same last name, but they are not related. And so Chin Lei Fong Wong is here, and Andrew Wang Fats Wong. And we will be talking to them about their poetry, about poetry translations, and it's a first for the Library of Congress and The Poet and the Poem. Chin Lei Fong Wong. I'm going to call her Fong. And she has a beautiful book. It's called Fire on the Zen. Let's hear her voice.
Yes. Heart Sutra, Xingjing, Void. Void into virtual windows, side by side to fog. Void lies with all forks of wedlock and the oath. Void as mantle over the shades of empty talk. Void frozen in the name of squashy frogs. Voice pulses the sighs through mosaics at one stroke. Void to all places by means of the trackless road. Void into the eyes of a parrot as still as a dilemma. Void then becomes an ant at the thrilled antenna. Void pulses on high tension power lines and so raw. Void leave ring pouring hearts to the drills on weeping willow. Void is a cast from the drowned light of a swallow. Void yawns God weed in the sweet lark, a wooden harp. Void filled in a few plucks at the absent string, ivory sparrow. Void upon opening the door, a mount at first sight, likewise hollow.
Void. Void, and it's anything but void. That was Fong. Now, Andrew Wong is going to read from his translations of Chinese poetry that go back to the 8th century. This is a book, nothing else exists in this world like this book. Let's hear Andrew Wong read a poem that is his translation.
Visit the Hermit in Vain by Jia Dao. Beneath a pine tree, I ask of a lad I see. Away is the master, gathering herbs, says he. Up in this mountain, but where I cannot tell. For there the clouds are deep and dense as be.
Four lines, but so powerful. What date does that original come from?
Must be 770s.
The Tang?
Tang Dynasty.
Yes.
Tang Dynasty.
Andrew Wong. I'm going to read his credentials a little bit because I won't remember to say it accurately. He is an extremely well-known figure in Hong Kong and America. And Andrew Wong is the last president of Hong Kong's Legislative Council before the sovereignty reverted in 1997 to China. And he picked up this fascinating way after retirement in 2007 of concentrating on the four-line verse from the Tang Dynasty. And he knows classical Chinese poetry very well. But this book was published in 2021, and it is a masterwork. We're going to be hearing more from him. Let's go back to Fong, and her book is Fire on the Zen, and she's going to read another poem.
Okay.
And let me tell them who you are. You're a mixed media artist and a bilingual poet, and Fong grew up in Hong Kong. She lives in Maryland. Listen, her art has been known internationally. She was chosen as the Hong Kong Art Special Entry four times in a row in the 90s. She won the International Painting Award in Spain, the grand prize. She has a BA, a BFA, a Master's of Education, and a PhD. What have you done with your time? Fong, yes, read us a poem.
Okay. The next one is Onion-like, my pupil lies with ice. Onion-like, pungent, fetters light in dungeon, came a glum, art kingdom, taste of his acid chill, waiting to be peeled. Poetic pieces, weed in love to pierce, not rough in love for fearless. Eyes peeled with ice, they do not know my sight, as I have never seen my eyes.
I have never seen my eyes. Fong, she has her doctorate in philosophy, fine arts, aesthetics, and art education. Andrew, back to you. We're going to ask for more than one of these because they go by too quickly. But after we hear them, I want to talk a little bit about your process. So tell us now the one you're going to read, four-line verse, translated from ancient Chinese. Would you tell us the name of it, the author, and the date? And then please read us one after another. We will listen to four.
Okay. I'll give you the title first. Visit. Sorry. I got the last one. View of a waterfall at Mount Lusan. Sunlit the instant summit. In a purplish aura agleam. To a fire like a shimmering curtain. A waterfall hangs upstream. Flowing, fleeting, flying. Plunging 3,000 feet. As if 'twere the silver river. Falling from heaven supreme.
And the author is?
The author is Li Po.
Li Po, very famous.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another in these beautiful four, were they originally four lines?
Yes, they were.
Oh, they were.
If you like the Cantonese version, I can give it to you right away. Would you like to hear that?
Okay.
Ya qiu hang lo sang xi yin. Yu hon bok bo gua qin chun. Fei lao zhe ha sam qin che. Yi xi an ho lo gao tin. That was a Cantonese version, which people believe is closer to mid-tongue pronunciation than the current Chinese
Mandarin. I see. So we just heard it in Cantonese. But were they written in?
In Chinese.
Chinese.
Characters, but pronounced differently, perhaps, in different regions, at different times, etc.
So a character could be read differently in different regions, the same character?
Yes, the same character can be misleading because it may sound like something else. Three may sound like four.
I see. I understand. So that there's not only a dialect, but even maybe a transmutation of the meaning.
No, the characters are written.
Right, but if they're spoken differently.
Spoken differently, but people will understand.
It's universal.
Yeah.
Right, let's hear another.
I'll give you another one by Li Bai. This is a fun one. To my friend Wang Lin by Li Bai. A boat I've boarded, Li Bai am I, and I'm set, all set to go. When sudden from ashore a din I hear of a stomping song I know. The water in the pool of peach blossom is deep to 1,000 feet. No deeper than the parting feelings, Wang Lin, to me you've shown.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has nature. Everyone is of nature.
Practically, but not always.
Let's hear another, because they're so beautiful. This is Andrew Wong. These have been published in 2021, a collection of the Tang Dynasty poems. And what he has done, I understand, is he's changed the rhyme so that he has stressed syllables and melodic rhythm for the English ear. So you have changed it from the cadence of Chinese to fit an English ear, the verse of English poetry. How did you do that?
By luck, perhaps.
It must have taken quite a switch of the brain.
Let me explain a bit. The Chinese quatrain is a four-liner. Four-liner.
Right.
Of four lines of equal length.
Correct.
So the first thing to do is to translate the substance of the poem into English, but with a similar length. But since English is an accentual language, the length cannot be simply counted according to the number of syllables used in the line. So I've decided that perhaps I should use the number of stresses in the line, the accented syllables, and not the total number of syllables, to account for the line length. All right?
Yes. All right.
Secondly, the Chinese quatrain is such that lines 1, 2, 4, or just lines 2 and 4, rhyme, with the third line always turning away. So I need to translate the Chinese line into English with a length of something like 4 stresses or 5 stresses or 6 stresses or 7 stresses, but with a rhyme scheme of 1, 2, 4 or just 2, 4, following the Chinese quatrain's pattern and not in accordance with rhyme schemes of English verse.
Understood.
So it is still verse, but done that way.
So the accentuated syllable is where we punch the syllable with our voice, and that accent is how you measured the line rather than counting syllables. So you did it by sound, really.
So I call this accentual verse, mm-hmm. not accentual syllabic verse. Classical English verse is accentual syllabic. All right?
Got it.
But mine is not. Like to be or not to be. To be or not to be. That's the question. You have, there are problems in this line too. Not really. There are lots of substitutions.
Well, what I understand is that the metric, that the English verse is metrical, and that you did not go by metrics. You went by accentuating the certain words to make that four-line poem. Length.
Yes and no. It's only that I have used a different kind of metric, somewhat like Gerard Manley Hopkins' sprung rhythm.
Mm.
But not exactly sprung rhythm, because I still try to have a running rhythm in my translations, in my renditions.
How long did it take you to write this book?
It's not the book.
The translations. How many years?
How many years? Something like 10 years.
So you immersed yourself every day into this new, wonderful fascination.
I'm taking a break now.
Well, you can afford to, because we have here a book that will never die, and I don't know anything like it in the world. We're going to move to Fong, who's Chin Lei Fong Wong.
Yes.
And she's a beautiful artist. She's going to have a show at the Women's Democratic Club in 2024 and the DC Arts Club. And she is world known for her art. Now, she does this, her same imaginative work into language. Let us hear something.
At first, just talking about my book. It's published by the New Academia publisher in 2021, and the name is Fire on the Seine. Fire is usually white and fierce, while Zen means maybe mindfulness, calmness, and serene void. It's quite contradictory, you know, between fire and Zen. This is a kind of maybe not a tricky, but is I think a poetic and artistic language. For example, in my first poem, The Heart Sutra Xingjing, Void, I try to associate something seems impossible. For example, ant and antenna, fog and frog. One is organic, the other is non-organic. And maybe the last sentence, opening a door, stood among, and then facing the hollow, is an action and situation, a very alternate combination, but it creates a kind of, we call it in Chinese, yi jing. It means artistic conception or mindful scene or mindful imagery, and it can arouse a kind of state of mind or a realm of mood. It's yi jing. So just from Mr. Wong's poem, the classical Chinese poem, the poet always try to associate or put together something like the moon and home, and say the rising cloud and rover. It's not just figurative or not just metaphorical. It gives us, just like a painting, you leave blank on a painting and give us a pause or take a break to think it over, to imagine and to interpret the marginal meaning of the poem. So I take an example of another poet, say W.H. Auden, you heard it. His poem tried to combine clock and lover together. And Emily Dickinson, I remember her poem, The Angle of Landscape. She put herself in between a curtain and the wall. It's a very strange gap or crack or a very special space. She didn't describe anymore, or she didn't explain it, but it's very, to me, it's very accurate, mm-hmm. exquisite and neat, but as well, is very loose and vague and fragile.
Mm-hmm.
It's a characteristics of artistic or poetic language too. I can say something more for the Russian formalists. Say, do you heard the Viktor Shirovsky? He coined the concept of defamiliarization. She tried to avoid or to he gave the term estranged from the recollection for art. It makes common things very strange, new, and unfamiliar to us. You know that. and then the audience can gain a new perspective and see the world differently.
Very well said. So I understand the space between the curtain and the wall. Yeah. I understand that in Chinese poetry, there is a space between understanding and meaning where the reader can pause and rest for a minute. And it was in that space where the magic happens. How you put words together to make room for space in Chinese poetry is remarkable, really. Mm-hmm. And it is. How do you consider Zen as part of poetry?
Mm-hmm. So just, we don't need to understand a poem, a poem or a painting, but you can feel it to perceive a stone as stony, not a stone as knowledge. So Zen is a kind of a realm to you can perceive, you can meditation to feel something behind recollection.
Well said. And the Zen circle is never closed. Mm-hmm. There's part of it that's
circle
open.
Is the Buddhist sense.
Yes, and but there the part that's not closed is the part you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that was very well said, don't you, Andrew?
Yeah.
Beautifully said. And you have a consummate knowledge of English poetry, which I think is astonishing, that you know the English poets and you've read them, and you've brought your own ability to change language in your own voice. So we'll be asking you to read a poem or to talk a little bit more.
Just to talk a little bit more.
That'd be great. Yeah. And Andrew, had you have already a poem for us? Andrew, I want to say again, was the last president of Hong Kong's Legislative Council. So you studied at Syracuse University.
Yeah, I did.
And was that where you gained your management skills?
Can't really say that. I mean, I got into rules of meetings when I was in my student days at the university. I was never president of anything, but I was the Secretary General of the Hong Kong Federation of Students. It was during those days that I acquainted myself with rules of order, etc., you know. That's all.
Wow.
That's why at the end I managed to become the president or the speaker of the Legislative Council in Hong Kong. That's it. But my interest is not in politics anymore, nor in management of meetings or anything, but in simply translating Chinese poetry into English.
You know, that is, your life is yin-yang.
Yeah.
So you had an active political life. Was it filled with tension, conflict, resolution? Was there a lot of political strife in your job?
There must have been, but I had been telling myself from my own experience, the best way to handle it is not to see them as really problems that must be solved. Sometimes problems solve themselves.
Do you think the Chinese philosophy...
So you do the least in order to control the situation, that's all. And you should never overshoot.
Do you think you were born with the ability not to resist, or do you think your study of the classics...
No, it's not that. It's from my experience. I mean, I've seen troubles in the students' union, too. And I've seen them resolved simply. They simply disappear.
But there has to be something in your personality that allows that information instead of hitting it headlong.
I don't necessarily think it's something given to me. by the Lord.
It's your nature, though.
It may not be my nature. It might be something I gained from my experience.
Aha. I see. So we can all learn.
So I don't really know. So I can't give you a definite answer.
But now your passion is translating classical poetry. And even though the book is out, are you going to continue to do it more?
No, I will. I'm now venturing into long short line verse called 詞, like some lines are longer, some lines are shorter, you know.
But oh, it's yes.
Long, a kind of poem, but it's quite a kind of poem that is quite irregular in structure.
Uh-huh. But let's go back to the quatrains. I have a few more.
Please.
Let me give you one which might sound a bit Zen, but not exactly Zen. This is again by Li Bai. You ask, you know, why in the mountains? You ask, why have I chosen to live in the mountains green? I smile without replying, my heart sedate, serene. Peach petals on streams gamble, then amble out of sight. 'Tis heaven and earth with a difference, not of the world we're in.
Did you adjust it to make it rhyme?
I didn't adjust it. Originally, it
there
rhymes.
Are rhymes in there.
There are rhymes. Man yu ho si cai big san. Siu yi ba da sam ji han.
San and
han.
Yeah.
Tou fa lao sui miu yin hui. Bi jiao tian de fei yan gan. So you have the san,
han,
gan, right. So in the English rendition, you ask why I have chosen to live in mountains green, or I smile without replying, my heart sedate serene, green, serene. And then peach petals on streams gambolled and amble out of sight.
Mm.
The number three line stands out to indicate the turning point.
Ah, Volta.
And coming to, yeah.
The
yeah,
Volta,
yes.
Yes.
And coming to this heaven and earth with a difference, not of the world we are in.
I could understand why someone would spend her whole life studying this poetry. It has everything anyone could want. Image, everything. And the original is as beautiful as the translation. Fang, you would like to talk more about your work than you would like to read it, right?
Yeah, I'd like to talk.
And we that's because you're a professor. And you have taught, you were a professor in Hong Kong.
Yeah, a kind of, in creative arts. Yeah.
And you have you have a master's in education and a PhD in philosophy.
A PhD in art education.
And art is your very blood, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You are made of art. Mm-hmm. Your paintings are remarkable.
Thank you.
Like nothing else anyone has ever seen. Mm. They combine fantasy and the imagination of color never seen before. And your language does too. So talk a little bit more about your art.
My art. And I think, take an example of my second poem, The Onion and Ice. You remember? I just read it. And I think it's about onion. Onion is a poem and it's art too, it's painting art too. Why? Because onion is touching, infectious, but onion itself, say, doesn't cry, but bring tears to our eyes. My words in art and poetry, both are complementary, not exclusive. they spilled fruit to over each other. Even I don't think that that's in different kind of mindset. Even they go each way of their own, and I think they are intertwined, duly intertwined. So my creation of painting, I have done the creation since 1970s when I was still in the university, and I learn and write Chinese style painting or poem at first. And
traditional.
And later on, when I've been in Washington State in about 1980s, I started to learn Western paintings or Western design and arts. And then later on, I stay in New York for about a year and take a look around the museums and Soho. And then I get a lot of something from Western arts. That's it. And then
what did you get from Western art?
I think this is a different kind of scene, different of experiments. Chinese arts or literature, they have always have it looks like the same face, you know, the same subject. For example, mountain and water, and it's a subject of a figure, something like that. But in Western art, it's changed a lot, especially the modernism. I impress very much the period of modernism, because they see the world from subject. It's the turning point. And Chinese art always see the things from in the mind, from the very beginning to now. Haven't any crucial change, but Western art, they change a lot. Okay, and then later on, they all merge together. Sounds merge together. For example, flow, landscape, echo, sympathy, the sense of vitality, and energetic space and time, something like that.
Well, how was it that you were recognized in China in the 90s? You won every award in the book, and were you doing experimental art then?
Not really. You see my book.
Oh, yes, I do.
You have it?
I do.
Yeah, I make some
experiments
in material, in media, and the subject is always the... It's a symbolic kind of subject.
Always.
But it's simple.
I understand.
Yeah.
And so people, we will let them know when they can see your work, mm-hmm. because seeing is believing. I can't describe it. Mm-hmm. And how do you think language is, and your images, your visual images, represent yourself?
Just the words?
Your language, the way you choose?
The Chinese or English?
English.
Oh, it's a very good question. I started writing Chinese poem a long time ago when I was very, very young. And I think because I may be better or good at Chinese, better than English, but... how to say? And about four years ago, I start to write in English. I feel I can, because the integrate of both ways of a presentation, I think I upgrade my realm of creation by open up my, or maybe voice out internationally and cross-culturally. English is very challenging. English writing is very challenging.
But you have a whole book of it.
Yeah.
So you have conquered it.
You can simply, or basically, take it as a game, you know. as a puzzle matching or puzzle solving, but if you try to upgrade your level at my level, right, you have to hardworking.
Got it.
Yeah, challenging, or maybe aesthetic.
Esoteric.
Practice, yeah. Aesthetic practice. I take a few hours at night or overnight for proceeding to write a poem. You know, this even in Chinese or English.
Every night?
No, every night.
Oh, okay. In case. I know, because I happen to know you paint 20 hours a day.
No.
So there's not much night left for you. So, what I understand you're saying is that you can take English and do it like a puzzle, like just translate, put the pieces together.
No.
But you have done it up a notch. You have laid over English to your own aesthetic, which is a Chinese aesthetic onto an English language.
Yeah, you bet. And I think it's a very good thing that you heard that. Ephesus means a poem inspired by painting, but it's always
ekphrastic.
Ephesus.
Right.
It's a kind of imitation of representative. But I think I will write poems just based on presentation, impression, more than that. I have my, it's not just borrowing or even paraphrase, and I have to go through the process of reselection, concentration, transformation, and have my own message, my own language. Even in English, I have my, maybe it's a
combination.
Yeah, combination.
Well, I think that is beautiful, and people can see examples of what you're saying in the book Fire on the Zen, and it is Poetry and Art by Lei Fang Wang. So in this, you can see the example of what is she saying, that she has taken her Chinese sensibility with her English language and made a new voice. Andrew Wong has done quite the opposite. He's taken an ancient language and created a present day voice for that. So will you read us one more from your Chinese poems and tell us who wrote it?
May I read one more?
What year is this? You're always, the Tang was what, 600?
Lei Tang Dynasty, a poem by Liu Yuxi. Lao Yu Sang, Liu Yu Xi, Liu Yu Xi. Song of bamboo twigs. Green, oh green is the willow. Placid, peaceful the flow. Hark, and I hear on the river songs from my love, my bow. To the east, the sun is out, the west. Drizzles persist. Ah, they say the sun is not. To me, my sun is aglow.
May
it's
we
a love song.
May we hear that in Chinese? Mm-hmm. Cantonese? Are you going to read it in Cantonese?
Cantonese. Yong Lao Qing Qing, Gong Sui Ping. Man Long, Gong Sheng Cheng Go Sing. Dong Bin Ya Chu, Sai Bin Yu. 都是無情,卻有情.
Do you know these ancient Chinese poems?
Of course. I also write Chinese poem, always write it.
And so these famous poets, you know of their work?
Yeah, most of, yeah.
And do you learn that in school or just because of that's your interest?
Both.
Both. Your education is quite complete in China.
Mm-hmm. I studied Chinese literature in university, a minor in Chinese literature too.
Do you have enough degrees now, Fong? Do you have enough degrees? Five? Is that enough for you?
It's not something for degrees for my life.
I understand. Andrew, keep going. We're loving this. We are introducing something this audience has never heard before. This audience that has been on air for 47 years has never heard anything like what you're presenting. Classical Chinese from the Tang Dynasty turned into English in your own accentuation. What a privilege. We'd love to hear more.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't take the hint.
I read one of these a night in bed, you know, Andrew, to make me relax.
I give you a famous one. This one is known by practically every Chinese.
We'll see if Fong knows it.
Thoughts on a Quiet Night by Li Bai.
Also Li Bai. You love Li Bai.
Beyond the bench bed, the bright moonlight. I'll be frost on the ground. I wonder it might. I raise my head, the moon to behold, then droop it, musing, I'm homesick tonight.
Oh, will you read the Chinese?
Chong jin ming yut guang, yi si de shang shang, gui tao pong ming yut, dai tao si gu hang.
That's what I say. Did you know? Home and moon. It's very famous one.
You knew that
we
one.
We had studied in primary school.
Oh, so you learned that early on.
Yeah.
That's the most famous one. Why do you think that is?
That's not the most famous one. That's the most...
Well known.
It seems simple. Popular. It seems simple, but not really.
and you make your children learn it at an early age because it doesn't give you any other meaning except that you're homesick, that if you're away.
I'm homesick.
And there's nothing very, 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 very adult about it.
It means what it says.
It simply means that he's homesick, that's all.
And children can understand that. Let's hear another. Is this book available on Amazon?
It's on Kindle.
Oh,
Amazon,
is it?
Amazon Kindle, yes.
60 Chinese poems in English verse available on Kindle. Because the print book is out of print. And so I've got a precious one. And the illustrations, who did the illustrations?
These are photographs taken by two friends of mine. A couple,
uh-huh.
Both professors.
Mm-hmm.
They've been traveling to all kinds of places and taking pictures and that's all.
They fit beautifully with the poems.
I hope so.
It's a visual book.
It's a audio book. There's a QR code here.
Oh.
You can hear me. Reading the poems.
You read it?
Yes, on the QR code.
Uh-huh. Oh, so that I can click on that.
Yeah.
And then hear you.
Yeah.
But on Kindle, is it print or is it voice?
Kindle is print, okay. I think. That's all.
Yes. So we would love to have another.
No, we have another one. Let's have another one. Mood. For the Night by the Maple Bridge by Zhang Ji. Again, Tang Dynasty, mid-Tang Dynasty. The one before Liu Yuxi is late Tang Dynasty, which is about 800s to 900s. Now this is by Zhang Ji. The moon is down, ravens cawing. A frostiness fills the sky. By the riverside maples and fishing lights, insomnious, sad am I. Outside the walls of Gusu City, their Hansan Monastery, their Hansan Temple stands. Gong goes the bell, Go spong, its midnight bell to touch the boat wherein I lie.
And will you just read the Chinese as we close?
月落乌啼上满天, 江枫渔火对愁眠, 姑苏城外寒山寺, 夜半钟声渡客船.
I could listen to that all day.
Mm. Yeah,
let me just finish this. This thought. I've not spoken about it before. You will notice that there is a pause, a very significant pause in every line. Like, 月落乌啼, pause, 上满天, 江枫渔火, pause, 对愁眠. The English rendition abides by that too. The moon is down, raven's going. A frostiness fills the sky.
There's space.
Yes. And there are other pauses too, but a major one is always after the fourth. Or if I translate the line into six stresses, then it would be in the middle, after the third. The pause, the major pause would be that. So that makes my renditions more melodious. Pause. So the moon is out by the riverside maples and fishing lights. Pause. Insomnious, sad am I. Three stresses. But before the three stresses, the pause. And before that, the four stresses.
Yes.
You're a poetry mathematician. What?
I hope I turn into a magician. Mathematician is useless.
They're too ordinary. You'd rather be a magician.
Do you have time? I read one more of my old poem in both Chinese and English.
Good.
Do you have time? Okay. I just read the English a partial of it. Okay.
Wait, is it that long?
No,
read all of that,
okay.
And then read it in Chinese.
Okay. My book published in 1996, and the name is Water and Soil Mutuality. Okay. Mm-hmm. Water and soil mutuality, bashfully the fog rots its face, colorless atop the trees, wind heaves a sigh, leaves listen. Soil and water, lorries, flowers take heat. Fog, changing its mind, turns to rain. Immediately meeting the mountain range, and powdered waterfall gives birth to dirt, peeling off the rock, willing until motion ends in rest, and peace convert to hurt. Too long the spring moistened the air, boring feeling in the air. Return to the soil, say lasting of the flourish or the spoiled. In Chinese, in Cantonese, 水来梅. 树若天迷淡若雾，云含血泪近含糊，风流叹息叶留意，情在水里花在乎，无非倾逐山间雨，激薄船生石半土，久住之春湿闷发，寻幻土闹。Fawing Fu.
That's it.
That's the entire poem?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds shorter in Chinese.
Yeah, sure. Of course. Chinese is very intensive.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we've had something special today, and this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. We've been hearing from Chin Lei Fang Wang and Andrew Wang Fat Wong, and they are both originally from Hong Kong, now making America richer by their presence and by their contributions to culture. And the program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sinipet Fund, by the Song in the Room Group, Sandy Jackson Cohen, the Rivada Foundation, and the Maryland State Arts Council. Mike Turpin's our engineer, and I'm Grace Cavalieri.